broadcasting from Dublin, Ireland, and around the world on TalkingBrawlsMMA.com and iTunes. You're listening to Ireland's premier mixed martial arts show.
This is Mike Dolce.
Ian McCall. Jan's Little Evil Pulver.
The Crippler, Chris Levin.
Is your eye favorite?
Johnny Hinder.
Frank the Legend Shamrock.
Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Brawls.
Back in your life, back in your ears, and back with the Talking Brawls MMA.com podcast. I am your host, as always, Niall McGrath. Back after a bit of a hiatus there for a few weeks, but fresh back from Berlin. The news isn't great, obviously, if you're listening this evening. Sad news, obviously, that it looks like Jose Aldo will be pulling out of the July 11th card at UFC 189. Before we get started on the show today, we're going to have a lot of chat about, touch back a little bit on UFC Berlin that we were both covering last weekend. Also going to talk a lot about the Jose Aldo, Conor McGregor situation. And then we're going to welcome in our guest, one of Jose Aldo's head sparring partners, Jonas Bilarinho is this man's name. So he's going to talk a lot about the fight and give his thoughts on what's going to happen. And unfortunately, it's not looking too good. He believes the fight may be rescheduled, were his words. So do check out the interview in a few minutes' time. But first of all, I'm going to welcome on my co-host today from MMAplus.co.uk. He was over in Berlin with me last weekend. Andreas Giorgio, if you know Jordan Kern, he's one of his buddies. Not quite as mad as Jordan, but not far off. But how are you, my friend? Great to have you on the show.
Yeah, Nala, I'm doing good, thanks, and appreciate being on Talking Brawls.
Absolute pleasure. For, you know, we got to kick it off with, you know, the big news. Just quick thoughts of the potential and the likelihood of Jose Aldo pulling out of this fight scheduled for July 11th. It's a big blow for everyone in European mixed martial arts, not just in Ireland.
Well, yeah, anyone in the MMA circles over the past few days will have seen how social media has been blowing up with, is Aldo going to be fighting on July 11th or is he not? Obviously, there, as you mentioned, that injury that is being cited, a rib injury, possibly a broken rib, seems that is the reason that Jose Aldo will not be able to defend his featherweight world championship at UFC 189. And it's just crazy news. It's kind of taken everything by storm, you know. This is picking up traction that for a long time I've really not seen in MMA.
It's unbelievable, people, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just I've people texting me, you know, our Twitter feeds are blowing up. I put up a little clip from, you know, the McGregor media circus back at UFC 189. It's on 20. It's just gone wild. It just shows you how big and the potential this fight could have been. And, you know, I believe hopefully we'll see it in the future. But what would you like to see happen? Would you like to see, you know, this fight be postponed? Would you like to see Frankie Edgar, Chad Mendes step in to face Conor? Or listen, well, you know, it hasn't been announced yet, but the Dana, I think, tweeted out a smile earlier on and people went a bit crazy. You know, what would you like to see happen in the result that Jose doesn't step into the octagon on July 11th?
Yeah, so well, obviously, ideal situation is Jose Aldo does make it to the octagon. But yeah, if that doesn't happen, you have to look at alternative methods. You know, there's so many kind of different factors you have to look at. You know, as you've mentioned there, Chad Mendes or Frankie Edgar possibly stepping in. Do you risk that? With McGregor, you know, as we said, if one of those guys beats McGregor, that has a lot of negative impact on the UFC and especially how much money they've put into promoting the UFC 189. I don't know, there's so many Irish fans going over to UFC 189. It's kind of crazy if you don't have Conor feature on that card. So I think if Jose doesn't make it to Vegas, then the UFC is going to be in a tight spot in deciding what they have to do.
Yeah, it's... You know, it is a tough one. You know, do you put Conor on a card against, you know, a guy who's ranked maybe 5 to 10 or, you know, possibly a little bit further back instead of risk him? But the thing, as you mentioned, you know, all the Irish fans travelling there, I think they're going to feel pretty aggrieved if Conor's not featuring on the card somewhere. on the line. Okay, let's before we get talk any more and before we get to the Jonas interview in a few minutes' time, obviously we were over at UFC Berlin last weekend and we learned the news of David Allen today as well. Another bombshell in the world of mixed martial arts, especially from us guys. We know Dave well. We'd know Inklink this was coming. Dave Allen has left his position of chief senior vice president of EMEA for the UFC. Really, this is just a bit of a bombshell as well.
Yeah, like seriously, when that popped out on Twitter today, I think it was Fighters Only who broke the news. I was like completely shocked. Yeah, as you mentioned, we were interacting with David in Berlin, and it just everything seemed a bit peachy keen. Yeah. No press conference, no inclination during the press conference afterwards as well. So yeah, it was real left field, and you know, obviously some people saying that personal reasons as for why David Allen is stepping down, but you know, he's done some really good stuff, as you mentioned. You know, Stockholm, that stadium show,
and
you know, Joanna defending the belt in Germany as well. So he's done some good things, and it's sad to see him go.
Yeah, definitely. Hats off to Dave, a very good bloke. Looks like I'm not going to get my interview with Dana White now at UFC Glasgow, but listen, I can try the new head of the EMEA when they're appointed. So we'll give that a bang. Don't worry about that. I'll try my level for that one. But yeah, let's touch on that fight quickly before we talk about Jose Aldo and Conor McGregor. Really, really dominant performance. I was, you know, incredibly impressed with Joanna again. The accuracy, the striking. It was just a joy to watch, really, again, from an absolute killer of a champion. I do think the fight should have been stopped a little bit earlier in the second round. It was sort of uncomfortable a little bit in the third, seeing Jessica's nose and her face being so beaten up. But a crazy good performance again, Andres.
Yeah, Joanna Jędrzejczyk is just every single time she steps into that octagon is proving that not only is she the best strawweight in the world, but she's arguably one of the best female mixed martial artists as well. Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I feel the fight could have been stopped in the second. It kind of, you know, it got to the point where you're like, you know, I really want this to stop. Penny's taking quite a bit of a beating. You know, she had hardly any success taking the fight to the ground. And when she did, Joanna popped straight back up. You have to look at the fact that Joanna's striking is the real factor into why she is so dominant as strawweight. And I think that she's going to be the reigning champion, or the Joanna champion, as she said, for a very long time to come.
She's a gas character. I was up in the hotel on Sunday morning, the fighter hotel, and she was just strolling around, you know, bobbing her head, signing autographs. Great champion as well, great representative for Poland.
Yeah.
You know, let's look at someone else in the card. You do have to feel Jessica Penne. I think she spent the night in hospital. Makwan Amerkani, this kid's the real deal. You know, great interview, great personality. We spent a bit of time with him during the week. A guy that's really done everything, you know, bar pay the money to me, and you know, he welched on his bed a bit, but he didn't give me that piece of paper. But you know, a phenomenal talent, it looks like, and a personality to go along with it.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think when we were looking at the fight, you know, on paper, no one was really giving Matteo Fullen much credit going into that fight. And, you know, I think we have to say rightfully so, Makwan has been so impressive. That Andy Ogle finish and that rear naked choke over Matteo Fullen as well. It looked like Matteo was going to defend it for a while, but no, all day long, Makwan Amerkani. And he is such a personality.
He's the best.
I had an interview with him midweek. And it was very emotional. You all know Matt is a very emotional guy, but it was very deep and touching. And that post-fight scrum as well. And I think we're kind of starting to understand now how much it means for him and what he wants to do for Kurdish fans to be that role model. That's what he keeps talking about. And I fully feel that if he keeps on this path, that he can 100% be a huge star in the UFC.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, he's just... a vibrant character. There's an aura about him. It's that Conor McGregor sort of thing. When you're around him, you feel there's something special is going to happen with him. I remember, you know, I was walking back in. He was doing an interview, I think, with the Finnish guys on their own afterwards. And I was walking back into the media room, and I'm walking. I said, "Oh, great performance, man!" He came over, gave me a big hug. Hey, man, just a generally a down to earth cool bloke. And I do think I asked him the question in the scrum as well. That is this the real Makwan Amerkani, you know, on camera? That is, you know, are you the same off camera? And he is 100%. We saw that during the week in the hotel. Just a great guy. And hopefully he can get that level in the next year of where Conor McGregor is. It'd be great to see a role model for the Kurdistani people as well. And he's doing a really exceptional job at that. Okay, moving on. Any other fights, by the way, that stuck out in your mind there? We had, you know, a couple of English debutants, Scott Askham, and then obviously who won a bonus was Arnold Allen.
Yeah, Scott Askham and Arnold Allen were both very impressive. Arnold, I thought Allen was starting to grind him out in that fight, but the way he initiated that submission was fantastic, and it was an absolutely fantastic win for Arnold Allen, a guy that at the age of 21 looks like he could be a bright star. And, you know, we were in a post-fight scrum with him as well, and he's talking about wanting to be different. He wanted to stand out from the crowd. You know, as we mentioned, there's a lot of UK talent kind of coming through, but none at the minute that are really sticking out at the level of someone, for example, of Michael Bisping. And I feel the way that Arnold Allen presents himself, holds himself in interviews, and as we see, gets to finish in the cage, I feel that he can be a big star. And obviously Scott Askin as well, what a finish by him is, you know, he looked great. Brought a huge crowd over as well. So it's great things for Askin moving forward as well, especially now that he's training at ASW.
You had a nice run in with Arnold in the interview afterwards. And you did set it straight because you played me the interview afterwards. You were right, correct?
I think it was a heat of the moment kind of thing. You just got that win, but you know, it was cool. You know, he gave me the little bit of the Arnold Allen swag. But you know, he got the win, and that was the most important thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And he looked good with that finish, and it's going to be really exciting times to see how Arnold Allen pans out in the UFC.
What's next for you, Anna, your J-check? You know, a lot of people are going to talk about, you know, I don't know who you mentioned now, because she looks that as if she's going to be that dominant. We have, you know, people are talking about Paige Van Zandt. You know, that's not going to happen. I think Paige is actually at a fight announced tonight.
Against Alex Chambers.
Yeah.
I think it's UFC 191.
Yeah. So what's next for her? You know, what do you do with Joanna Champion? She's so dominant. They're obviously going to give Paige a bit more of a run. We've Michelle Waterson coming in here now. It's obviously going to be a little bit early for Michelle to be given them. You know, she's going to want to win two or three fights before she's considered, you know, in the top sort of five. You know, what's next? It really does. You have that sense of feeling that it's going to be like the women's bantamweight division, that where, you know, Joanna's going to clear the division out.
Yeah, no, I feel there's a definite problem that could happen. As we just mentioned, Paige Van Zandt is nowhere near ready for the title shot. I think she's facing Alex Chambers at UFC 91.
They want to keep her pretty face as well.
Yeah,
around for some marketing. Definitely. Let's be honest about it, man. Like you know, that's the aim of the game, to market these kids before they get to that level. And it would be absolutely stupid to throw her in and get messed up. You know,
I can agree more. I think Paige Van Zandt. I think the UFC understand that how they need to market Paige Van Zandt, and I think she's going to be slowly built up. But it comes to a point where you have to put up with the big names, and if she makes that fight with Joanna, you know. I don't know. Right now, looking at her, I don't give her much favours. But as for the whole division, I think one thing, the only good thing I feel that came out of Berlin for Jessica Penne is the fact that now you could probably market the Michelle Waterson rematch. Both girls coming off a loss, as we've seen Michelle Waterson recently signed, now moving up to strawweight. Possibly that fight could happen at the end of the year, Michelle Waterson, Jessica Penne. And I think that's a good fight for Waterson to kind of put her up at the top of strawweight straight away.
What a rematch.
Yeah, definitely. And then you've got Gadela going up against Jessica Aguilar.
You're in my mind, sorry to interrupt, you're in my mind that Gadela actually beat Joanna in the first fight. I actually scored a 29-28 to Claudia as well.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% feel that Claudia won that fight. It was a close fight. No one can argue that. I feel that Claudia won that fight, though, but there is no doubt in anyone's mind that Joanna Champion has improved tremendously since that fight.
Yeah, 100% agree. But it is interesting times ahead. See what they're going to do. I'm looking at the rankings here, and just sort of going, you know, where do you go? Do you give Tugrose Namajunas a go after maybe she wins her next fight? It's you know, I just think looking at those list of ladies that there's not really a competitor at the moment. But you know, we'll see as the year pans out on the division. Okay, let's get to the interview that I think everyone's been looking forward to listen to. And that is with Jose Aldo's main sparring partner, a guy who's actually, he broke some exclusive news there. He's been talking with the UFC and signing a contract with them. So congratulations to him. Actually, a really, really nice bloke. Jonas Bill Harino. He was, I think, you know, his head training partner or sparring partner in the build-up to this fight. So he's loads of information from camp. So do check it out. He believes the fight, unfortunately, is going to be postponed. It's his belief, you know, nothing more to it. He's no inside information. I've tried to get it out of him. Have a listen to the interview, see what you think, and we'll catch you in a few minutes to talk about more permutations of Jose Aldo, Conor McGregor, and obviously look forward to Yoel Romero versus Lyoto Machida this weekend.
This is UFC heavyweight Frank Mir, and you're listening to Talking Brawls.
Delighted to welcome on to Talking Brawls MMA.com podcast, Jonas Bilarino from Team Nogueira, who's been recently training with Jose Aldo. He's been his main sparring partner, one of them. He is the 135-pound jungle fight champion and the 145-pound jungle fight champion, and definitely a prospect for the UFC. 6-1. First of all, Jonas, how are you, my friend? Very good to have you on the show.
Hi there. How are you, folks?
We're all good. Jonas, first of all, obviously, you're a two-weight jungle fight champion. You've been down recently training, I believe, with Jose Aldo in preparation for his title fight. Well, it's up in the air at the moment, obviously, with Jose sustaining a rib injury. Can you just confirm to our listeners that it wasn't you that hurt Jose?
No, wasn't I that hurt Jose. Was another teammate, but it wasn't intentional. It was an accident, but the strike caught Jose very, very well on the ribs, and he was feeling a lot of pain, and he was moved to the hospital. I wasn't there at the hospital with him, but I knew it was bad. He wanted so much this fight, man, and now we are going to put this away for a moment.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lame.
So the fight is not happening at the moment. It's not going to happen on July 11th, as far as you're aware.
I don't know, man, but I know that it was a bad injury. I don't know if he will be able to fight. And it's not an easy opponent, let's say that way. It's Conor fucking McGregor, you know? he's a beast. So you got to be 100% to face this guy.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think, you know, you're a guy, I watched a couple of your fights there on YouTube earlier on, and you're a guy, you're very similar to Conor McGregor, your style. That's obviously why Jose brought you into the camp. Do you think possibly Jose was a little bit too aggressive in the training?
Maybe. We need to be aggressive in the training because the fight is aggressive.
Yeah.
We Brazilians, we try to make the training as close as possible as the fight is. So sometimes we train without shin guards to emulate better the takedown escapes and everything like this. But it wasn't this that caused the injury in Jose Aldo. It was really an accident. We were going light. It was all soft, and all of a sudden a strike got him. His training partner that was training with him at the injury time, he slipped. How do I say when you lost balance?
He slipped.
You slipped. He slipped in the floor, and the strike caught Jose in an angle it wasn't supposed to get.
Mm. Okay. So yeah, it wasn't supposed to happen. It was a freak accident. What exactly were you training with? You've a similar style. I know you're a guy who practices capoeira. You're in Muay Thai. You've karate, kickboxing. You've a whole repertoire of skills very similar to Conor McGregor. What was the exact process of the sparring?
You know, I'm very similar to Conor McGregor in some ways, but not all of them. So I change a little bit here, I change a little bit there, and bam, this is Conor McGregor for you, Jose. It's not that difficult to emulate him for me because his style is my style too many years.
Yeah.
You know, people think, oh no, Conor McGregor style, that's so new. Okay, that's new for most of people, not for me. He don't use usual techniques. People don't know these techniques around here, but I know this for many years. I'm a karate guy. I'm used to all this shit he does.
Yeah. And you've been trash-talking as well in preparation.
Of course.
And what was that like? Did it get to the point where it was, you know, really, really serious, and you were insulting Jose, and he was taking it on board, and he was taking offense to what you were saying to him.
Yeah, I insult Jose in many, many ways. I call him everything I can. Everything I remember on the train, I call him. I'm trying to emulate McGregor the best I can, you know. He's an awesome athlete, so we must do the best preparation we can. So we cannot leave anything behind.
Yeah,
you know,
and
Jose must be in his best shape. It's sure going to be his most difficult fight. McGregor is the best athlete he will be facing.
And are you, you know, how recently have you been training with Jose up until the injury?
I don't know. Our next train is tomorrow. I'll be calling Dede Pederneiras, which is Jose Aldo head coach.
Yeah.
I will be calling him tomorrow to know if Jose will keep training for the fight or if the fight is canceled. For now, I don't know.
You don't know at all. Do you believe that the fight will happen on July 11th?
I don't know, man. I didn't hear it from the day. I saw this in the media. I'm avoid calling them, so okay. I don't disturb them at this moment.
Yeah. Okay.
And I saw in one of the hugest media sites here in Brazil that Jose has a fracture in the ribs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
correct. I think it's very difficult for Jose to continue training to this fight with a fracture in the rib.
Yeah.
It's a very painful injury. And knowing you are fighting a Taekwondo guy like Conor, it's too dangerous to go to a fight with a fracture in the rib.
Mm.
Anytime Conor can put a strike on Jose ribs and break his bone even worse, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't believe this fight will happen.
Have you spoken with Jose or Andre Pederneiras since the incident happened?
I just sent Jose a message. And I said him to get cold, to think well before taking any decision, to think how much he's got to lose. And I don't know, he must know what's best for him, you know. I cannot decide for him, but I just advised him to think the most he can.
And, you know, looking at this fight, how do you think this fight plays out, regardless if it happens on July 11th or maybe later in the year? How do you see this fight panning out?
Conor has too many ways to end the fight, so has Jose. Mm. So this is one of the most unpredictable fights I'm being a part, you know? For example, Minotauro is going to fight Shogun Rua.
Yeah.
This fight don't have too many possibilities of how it's gonna end, but Jose and Conor, oh man, it's got too many possibilities. Both athletes are hard to knock out. Both athletes have endless cardio. Both athletes are so strong and powerful. Stand up. Both athletes can submit. I don't know, man. It's got too many possibilities. That's why we're doing the best camp ever for Jose. And I believe Conor is having his best preparation of always. I don't know, man.
Definitely.
If I gotta put my money on something, yeah. Of course, I'm rooting for Jose.
Yeah.
I believe on his victory. Of course, I gotta believe on his victory, you know? I'm his training partner. Yeah. And I believe on a knockout. Definitely. Maybe late third round.
Okay. That's your prediction. How did it come about that you came down? Because obviously you're a Team Noguera guy. How did it come about that you came down to Andre Pederneiras in Nova Uniao?
Yeah, my head coach is not from Team Noguera, believe it or not.
Okay, sorry, I beg your pardon.
Alex Gazet is my coach. Mm. He was from Team Noguera once, but he left Team Noguera. But I'm still training with him. He was the one who believed me, who made me a professional athlete, who got me on the white belt and gave me the black belt, you know,
yeah,
on Muay Thai. And I won't ever stop training with this guy. I take all my decisions based on what he talks to me. It's like I am the body and he's the mind, you know?
Yeah, course.
And Tino Guerra allowed me to keep training with Alex Cazet because they know it's better for me. The De Pederneros, the Nova Union head coach, he called Alex Cazet because they are friends. And he asked Alex Cazet to lend me, to borrow me, you know?
Okay, yeah, because your style is similar to Conor McGregor.
Yeah, and I talked to Rodrigo Nogueira, Minotauro.
Yeah.
And he said, no, that's okay. You can go and train with Jose. It will be a good experience for you. You will help the guy a lot. Go there. If Rodrigo said no, I would say no too. Because I'm a Tino Guerra guy and I must respect Tino Guerra leaders. But Rodrigo Nogueira is a very humble and very intelligent guy. So he saw no problem on that. And now I'm training in Nova Union to help Jose Aldo. But after this fight passes, I'm going to be back at Tino Guerra.
Excellent. So one last question on the Jose Aldo, Conor McGregor situation before we move on to your career and just talk a little bit about what you're going to do next. So you're not sure this fight's going to go down, and is there anything you can give hope for the Irish fans that the fight might happen?
I don't know. I hope that the fight will happen. I don't know, man. Of course, it will happen. It will happen. But I don't know if it's going to be on July 11.
Yeah, okay.
I really don't know. And I cannot lie for you guys, but my prediction is that this fight will be canceled for now. It's my prediction. Okay. I don't know. I didn't heard it from anyone. But I am an athlete. Mm. I already broke a rib. I know how painful that is. And you know, we're not able to train with a broken rib.
Yeah,
I don't know if Jose is going to keep training.
Okay, yeah.
And we gotta respect Conor, you know?
Yeah.
It's not anyone. It's Conor McGregor. Okay. I wouldn't fight Conor for broken rib. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't know Jose, but I wouldn't.
Okay, that's fair enough. I've broken a rib before. It's very painful. Do you think his rib was definitely broken?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe a fracture. I don't know if it was 100% broken, but at least a fracture it got, I know.
At least a fracture, okay. Brilliant stuff. Okay, moving on to your career, what's next for you? You're a two-division champion in jungle fights. You're the bantamweight champion. You're the featherweight champion there. You've sort of cleared out everyone in Brazil. You drew your first fight of your career, and then you won your next six. So surely it's the big show. That's what you're aiming for, yes?
Uh-huh. I'm aiming for UFC. The Bellator already called me. And I denied his offer.
Yeah.
All I want is the UFC. I don't think I got anything else to do here in Brazil except taking more belts, you know, in other organizations. I don't want to keep defending my jungle fight belts because if I do this, I will keep exactly where I am right now.
Yeah.
So I want to move forward and forward. So, or I will move to other organizations to get more belts, or UFC calls me. There's no other option.
Definitely. And talk about your style. I know you're kickboxing, Muay Thai. Your base, I think, is karate, and you've practiced capoeira as well, and you've been doing it since, I think, you were 3 years of age. You've been fighting. Talk to the guys that aren't familiar what your style is like. It is actually quite similar to Conor McGregor in many aspects, but you're a guy who likes to study different fighters as well to broaden your repertoire of skills.
I like a lot to study, guys. It improves my own game. I always studied Conor McGregor. I was planning to move to 145 when I was still a jungle fight 135 pounds champion, and I was studying every single top guy from UFC in 145 to know what to expect ahead, you know. And while I'm studying guys, I see new things and I think, oh, I can apply that to my game. Yeah. I think studying MMA is 60% of the fight.
Yeah.
If you don't study fights, you can't be a champion.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, when you're looking on at those fighters, you know, the 135, the 145 pound division, what division would you like to enter in the UFC? What division would you fight at in the UFC?
I felt more competitive at 145, stronger, faster. It's not about how am I feeling. It's not about feeling. It's about how competitive you are. And I think I'm more competitive in 145 than in 135. I got 5'11 inches tall. And I'm too tall to be at 135.
Would you cut too much weight as well down to 135?
Yeah, I wasn't recovering that well,
yeah,
you know.
Of course.
I think I recover well fighting at 145. Many people ask me, Jonas, you're still too tall to 145. Why don't you move up to 155? I don't think I will be that competitive in 155. Of course, it will be more comfortable. I will definitely feel better at 155. But it's not how better you feel. It's about how competitive you are. And I think the most competitive weight class for me to be right now is featherweight.
Yeah. And, you know, looking, you know, you're in Jose Aldo's camp at the moment. Obviously, that gives you great motivation to want to be in the UFC. Has there been any contact or any inklings that the UFC are interested in your signature and signing you for a contract?
Yeah. We are now discussing the value of my purse.
Oh, brilliant.
And I guess soon I am going to have a date to debut in the UFC. I hope so.
Oh, brilliant. Congratulations. That's wonderful news. That's really good news.
Thank you.
When did you find out that news?
Yesterday.
Oh, excellent. Brilliant. Excellent stuff. That's really good. So you're going to go in at 145. Is that the plan?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I have no contract signed for now,
but we
are already discussing when will it be.
And you said to me there as well, you admire watching different fighters. What fighters have you really admired in the featherweight division watching?
Oh, of course, I like Jose Aldo.
Of course.
Before I was a professional athlete, I was already a fan of Jose. He's been a long time in the road, you know. Conor McGregor, when he appeared, man, I studied this guy so hard. He's got a very nice style. And a lot of things that he does matches with I like to do. But I never seen anyone applying that in MMA.
Yeah.
So Conor McGregor gave me a chance to see what I like to do being applied by other guy. You know, it was so important to me when Conor McGregor appeared. I studied him very, very hard for very, very long hours. And I like Patricio Pitbull. Do you know him?
Yeah, I do. That was a great fight last week.
This guy is a beast.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to train with him too. And man, he will be trouble for Jose or for Conor, you know?
Yeah, hopefully.
I would like to see them fighting.
Definitely. I'd love to see him in the UFC. That fight last weekend at Bellator was an insane performance from Patricio Pitbull. The guy's an absolute beast. So what's your timeline now? When would you, like, say that everything goes well with the contract, you get signed for the UFC? When are you ready to get in the octagon and fight?
Anytime. If UFC calls me next week, I'm going to be.
Oh, you're ready. You're ready to go, yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Excellent. Anytime. I'm always training. I don't get a schedule for now. I'm waiting for the first call, and after this, I'll get a schedule. So I'll know when I will be fighting, with a date. Months ago, you know. I don't believe when the UFC calls me, I will have, I don't know, maybe 10-9 weeks for training. I believe that when they call me for my first fight, for my debut, it will be something like, oh, 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now. So I must be prepared already.
Do you think there's any possibility if Jose doesn't make it that you might get the nod to fight Conor McGregor?
It would be amazing, but I don't think it's a possibility.
Yeah. Okay.
Too many top guys ahead of me to face McGregor. I believe that if this fight happens without Jose, who will be stepping on his place? I believe it's Frank Edgar.
Yeah, okay.
I believe so.
You think that fight's going to happen?
I think that Conor McGregor will fucking destroy Frank Edgar.
You think so, yes?
Yeah, Conor McGregor will not lose for Frank Edgar.
Do you think that's a little bit of a risk to, you know, in case Conor would lose, you know, it puts the massive fight that is Jose Aldo and Conor McGregor in jeopardy?
Oh, it's a tricky answer.
It is.
First of all, I really don't think McGregor will lose for Frank Edgar. But if he does, I must say that Frank Edgar, it's a much better fight for Aldo than McGregor.
Mm.
It's so less risky. You know, Frank Edgar don't have that knockout power.
Yeah.
Frank Edgar, Conor McGregor calls Jose a decision machine. So if Jose is a decision machine, I don't even know what to call Frank Edgar.
And say you get your call to the UFC. Is there anyone you have your eye on? Anyone you'd like to fight? in that featherweight division?
Anyone. I don't think, I'm not that kind of guy that says, oh, I'm here to change the world. Yeah. I'm the number one. I just have to prove myself. No. Yeah. I'm not that kind of guy. Anyone they put to fight with me, doesn't matter if it's a top guy or a lame guy, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to conquer my place step by step. That's no problem with that.
Excellent stuff. And just one final one before we let you go, and we really do appreciate the time here. What's the reaction like being in Brazil and Rio de Janeiro to the news that it looks like Jose Aldo is going to have to pull out of this fight on July 11th? What's been the public reaction?
Oh, people will get mad here, man. Because Brazilians are not that grateful persons, you know. They forgot about their idols. Yeah. They prefer people from the outside. I don't like Brazilian crowd. I don't know, man. There's a lot of people who root for Conor here. So yeah. It will be a lot of discussion here in Brazil, man. Okay. People will get everything on fire here.
Brilliant stuff. And where can the guys find you on social networks?
I lost you.
On Twitter. Where can the guys find you on Twitter if they want to hit up your Twitter account?
Oh, Jonas Speed. Every single media of me is Jonas Speed. On Instagram, Jonas Speed. Twitter, Jonas Speed. YouTube channel, Jonas Speed. And Facebook, Jonas Speed.
Jonas, it's been a real pleasure, and I really look forward to seeing your debut in the UFC. Hopefully you get that contract sorted out, and hopefully I'll see you in Las Vegas, maybe with Jose Aldo.
Oh, thank you, Niall. Thank you for everyone. Thank you, Herr. Thank you, Dublin. Thank you, Irish guys. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Really do appreciate the time, my friend.
I'm UFC heavyweight Stipe Miocic, and you listen to Talking Brawls.
And that was Jonas Bilarino. A big thanks to him again. He's actually just after WhatsApp me, thanking me for the interview. Very nice guy. So interesting stuff there. I know you haven't had a chance to listen to the interview yet, Andreas, but it's looking unlikely the fight's going to take place. I tried every morsel to try and get it out of him. So it's disappointing. I presume we're going to learn tonight on UFC tonight. If you're listening afterwards, it's Wednesday, the June 24th. So that will be... I'm sure there'll be announcements made by then. But okay, if you want to catch us on Twitter, you can catch me on Twitter at Niall McGrath 4 and at Talking Brawls. Andreas, they can obviously catch your work on mmaplus.co.uk. Where are you on Twitter, my friend?
Find me on Twitter at Andre M. Giorgio, and of course at MMA Plus as well.
Our good friends at MMA Plus. And I hope you didn't listen to that drunk podcast.
the super beer cast.
Yeah, it was good. Now some good topics, I think, on it. I'm scared to listen back to it, but... I'd say it wasn't too bad, was it? Did you listen back?
I listened to it. You know what? Funny enough, we spoke a lot of sense. So
that's good.
Yeah,
that's good to hear. okay, you know, another question I think we have to ask. You know, how damaging will this be for the sport? Because you know, it's been a tough year, and you've possibly mentioned you think this fight might never happen.
Of course I want it to happen, but it just feels. Like, with everything that's happened, that is somewhat thought lingering in the back of my mind. That
we're never going to get there.
We may never actually get this fight. And for you know what? I hope to God I'm wrong. I want to see this fight just as much as everybody else. Yeah. But it's just, do you have this lingering thought as well? I just have
it. Yeah, no, well, I thought originally, you know, there was going to be a pullout. I said it to you guys even last weekend. I said, I've sent to Johnny Schrager, my good pal from the UG. I've just had that feeling as well, like what you're saying, that there's something there. You know, it's just Jose, you know, he's pulled out of 5 fights on US soil, you know, which I think says a lot. Really doesn't like fighting over in the US. So, listen, maybe something in it. We're not going to speculate to that sort of level, but very disappointing. Hugely disappointing being Irish. I'm more disappointed for the fans that have, you know, paid their money going over. And, you know, now it's really up in the air whether, you know, Conor's going to be on the card or not. I'd like to see him on the card. I don't think he's going to be on the card. I think they might just pull the fight altogether. I don't think really, you know, a lot of the time it's all about pay-per-view buys for the UFC. So let's see what happens. Hopefully common sense prevails. And hopefully, you know, Jose, you know, hopefully Jonas was wrong there and, you know, the fight's not going to be postponed. But it's not looking too good at the moment, and we should learn more later on in the evening. Okay, some other talking points as well. New York, we don't know whether it's going to be legislated, but there's been some positive signs today, Andreas. How crucial is that for the United States audience that they accept mixed martial arts into Madison Square Garden and New York? You know, what a fucking place, man, to have a fight.
Yeah.
MSG. You know, you have the MGM and MSG, you know, both sides of the United States hosting huge, huge fights. You know, Christmas time in Madison Square Garden will be unbelievable to hold hold a fight card. It's a big day again. I actually haven't been following too much because of the Aldo thing, and I'm sure you're the same. Do we know anymore? Is it going to happen this year?
Well, first thing I know is that the UFC have been on a tremendous viral campaign today, from the likes of Dana to Sean Shelby to the UFC's official Twitter account, getting people to ring in to the official New York speaker and to beg that we get to see mixed martial arts in New York City and at Madison Square Garden. You know, I kind of spoke to you about this when we were in Berlin. I don't think it's that big of a deal in terms of the fact that you can go down the road to New Jersey and put on the show there. But the reason why it's big for the UFC is because it's Madison Square Garden. And you have to look at the history of that venue.
Serena.
Has done, and that's the main reason they want it in New York. And you go, you know, UFC at Madison Square Garden. It's just listening to that sentence is huge. And that's why we all want to see mixed martial arts there. And I really hope and I feel that this time is going to be the one where this bill is passed and MMA is allowed in New York.
Yeah.
It, you know, there's no room left in this sport now to have, you know, such a regulated sport that is mixed martial arts banned. It makes no sense anymore. You can go back to the cockfighting days or whatever, but it doesn't count anymore. It doesn't work.
Those culinary commissions need to wisen the fuck up and get our sport into Madison Square Garden. That's really the fucking message I think people want to send there. And the people want to go cover fights there. It's an amazing arena, as you said, the history, everything behind it. Great state, some great people there. Imagine an Irish card there as well, you know, McGregor fighting. It would be unbelievable. Yeah. Huge amount of Irish people in New York, you know. It would be amazing. So fingers crossed that goes true. Okay, let's have a quick look at the card this weekend. There's been huge visa issues, should I say. I think 12 fighters pulled from the card. They've replaced a few. But there's two fights that really do stand out in the card. Obviously, the main event, Lyoto Machida versus Yoel Romero, the Olympic silver medalist. Interesting one all the same. We've Santiago Posinibo, I can never say his name properly, the Argentine from The Ultimate Fighter. Very nice prospect. I like him a lot. We've Lorenz Larkin, obviously, coming off that good performance, very impressive performance against John Howard.
Yeah.
Back, I think it was in Boston, actually, in the McGregor card. So looking forward to that one. How do you see that fight going? First of all, Posinibio is a guy who's really sort of impressed me in his last two outings against Wendell Oliveira, and then he disposed of Sean Strickland. He looks like a bit of a talent, a little bit raw possibly, you know, coming from that side of the pond where, you know, let's be honest, the Ultimate Fighter Latino series haven't been amazing, but he looked one of the standout guys in the show and has shown solid improvement since his debut.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. You know, you have to look back to that Ryan LaFleur fight, and I just think he looked really flat in that fight. He didn't really bring much to the table in quite, you know, a very overall sound guy in Ryan LaFleur. But as you mentioned, he looked superb in that knockout of Oliveira. And then, you know, Sean Strickland, who's a very awkward fighter.
Yeah, definitely.
He dealt with him very well. And he's 28 and, you know, he's still relatively young, but he's looked really good in those last two outings. And he's definitely a very interesting character. I think I feel he's quite unorthodox in how he presents himself because he's just a bit of an awkward show, which is why I feel he dealt well with Sean Strickland. But Lorenz Larkin is a very tough guy and that you cannot overlook. That huge TKO over John Howard snapped a free fight losing streak, but that free fight losing streak was against some tough guys, Tavares, Philippou, Brunson. So it's going to be a very interesting fight, but I feel Posinibo, hopefully I've pronounced that correctly, scores a win.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, I he has that in his locker, Larkin, that knockout power, as we saw against John Howard. We saw him back in Strikeforce where, you know, he was literally coming into the UFC, possibly, you know, thinking to himself that he might make a run for the title, but he probably is fighting for his career this weekend. I do fancy Posinibio to take it. I think he's shown solid improvement in his fights up to this point in the UFC since he made his debut, and I do expect him I'd go with a decision in that one. I think he's going to grind out something there, and I think it'd be a decent enough fight. Let's look at the main event of the evening as well. I can look at it. Jeez, that wasn't too well phrased. But Lyoto Machida versus Yoel Romero. You know, I think this fight is, it's a really interesting stylistic matchup because he's a big wrestler. Yeah, he likes to shit himself on the odd occasion. To throw that one in there against Lyoto Machida. We know what Lyoto brings, that beautiful counter-striking. You know, keep his guys at distance and ultimately pick them out. That's the way I have this fight playing out. I think Romero is going to struggle with the elusive speed and feet and the hands of a guy like Lyoto Machida. I think he's going to struggle to get him down. I think the pace is going to be a real factor in this fight. How do you see it going?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I feel Machida's counter style is too good for Romero. Romero's never really, in my opinion, had a very, very solid standing game. We know he's got knockout power. You know, there's no confusion in that, but I don't know. I just feel that Lyoto Machida is going to jump in and out, score some strikes, and I think probably take it by decision. But what we've seen is, in the past, Machida has never really dealt well with wrestlers. Yeah. You have to look the likes of Weidman, Davis. He's not dealt well with them. So if Romero can take it to the ground and grind something out, I feel he can get a lot of success in that department.
Mm. If he gets to the ground, he's every chance. We saw Tim Kennedy, I think it was last time out, the TKO. It was a weird one, though. I was actually at the fight. It was 1-7-8 in Las Vegas. And he it looked like he stopped. You know, he'd stopped in the corner, then the corner came back out, then he got rocked, and then it was just an unbelievable sort of comeback and a flurry of shots to get the job done. It, very dangerous guy in situations like that, but I do think it's going to pan out, and Lyoto's too clever, I think. That's what it comes down to, too elusive on his feet. So a fight definitely. Anything else that sticks out on your mind in that card? Any other fights that you're going to have your eye on Saturday night?
You know, with the visa.
Steve Bosse's fighting. Fuck, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, he's fighting Thiago Santos. Yeah. That's going to be an interesting fight.
Yeah, see what the hockey player does.
Yeah, he was built up, wasn't he? He was supposed to step in for Rampage, but of course the UFC managed to sort that out, and that wasn't meant to be.
That's going to be
the right guy, right? I've got the right guy.
Yeah, you do indeed. They gave him one fight. They gave him a show money last time out as well, so. Let's see what the hockey player brings on Saturday night. But obviously the card has been smashed in two because of those visa issues, which happened a couple of weeks ago. Listen, we could talk all night about McGregor-Aldo, but another thing's in the news. It looks like Stipe might be getting that world title shot. Deserved, in your opinion, ahead of Arlovsky?
I feel it's deserved, yeah. You know, obviously we spoke to him in Berlin and I kept trying to say, who do you want next? And he was just blunt and honest. I want that title shot. And I think that now, especially that the division has opened up with Verdum taking that belt, that, you know, realistically, he's probably one of the names that you can actually put there. Everyone disputes, well, not everyone, but a large amount of people dispute that Junior Dos Santos fight, and I believe you do as well.
Oh, yeah, I think he won it 3-2.
So, yeah, you know, you have to look
back. How did you score that?
Yeah, I scored that to Struve, but
Stipe.
Stipe, yeah. I thought it was a close fight, but I feel he did enough to win in that fight. But, you know, it was kind of a controversial decision. Great fight, though. But then he came back. He beat Mark Hunt in a very dominating performance.
He used his wrestling in that. We know he's a high-caliber wrestling, but he never really showed it. He used his golden glove blocks. And he does, you know, his stand-up's so good, coming out of strong style as well. His teammate, Jess Guy, you know, another killer striker down there.
Yeah.
It's just everything it seemed to piece together for Stipe. He's improved so much since that Struve fight, you know, tenfold. And even in that Struve fight, he did actually slip against the fence, if people remember, and did get caught by Struve. And Struve is, he's like a skyscraper. He's so tall. Yeah. That's why they call him the skyscraper, Struve. Jesus. Brain's not working today. It's all the Mirella hype. But, I'd love to see him get it. He's a friend. We've had him on the show here many a time before as well. I'm not being biased, but if you look at his record since he's, you know, dropped that fight, the arguable decision to JDS, he's probably fought the higher caliber of opposition as well. I think, you know, for Arlovsky, in my opinion, needs one or two more, one more fight possibly against one of the top five guys to justify his position. I think Stipe's done enough. So Stipe for me, Stipe for you, full house. Okay, before we wrap up the show this week, it's been great to have you on. You know, what's, you know, final thoughts on what's going to happen? Or are we going to see that title fight in Las Vegas on July 11th or not?
I don't think we're going to see that title fight. But I hope we still see Conor McGregor on that card. Whether we see him fight a big name or you know, whoever.
Make a prediction.
Prediction? Jesus Christ. Well, you know what? I'd love to see him fight Frankie.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen, though.
I think he's. I've always said on the show.
Duffy have been bandied around.
Yeah, I've always seen on the show, said on the show, I think Conor struggles with Edgar. He's the only one I believe he has real problems with in the division. I don't think that's going to happen, if I'm honest. I don't think Duffy's going to happen either. I think that's one for a later date. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't fight, as I said, at all on the card. But, you know, it's probably going to be, if he does, I would imagine Dennis Bermudez will step up from his schedule fight and possibly fight him, or maybe even someone lower rank. But it's going to be interesting to see. Frankie said he's ready. The half the division have said they're ready. But it's just a shame. And listen, hopefully the fight happens sooner rather than later, and we can celebrate a great, great fight between two champions. And hurry up and get fucking better soon, Jose, anyway, if he's injured out. But listen, before we wrap it up, Andre, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show, and I do appreciate it. Where can the guys find your work and your social network feeds?
Yeah, no, they can. First of all, it's been my pleasure as well being on the show, first time. So hopefully the first of many more. As already mentioned earlier, mmaplus.co.uk, you can find my work there. On my YouTube channel, Drano's MMA, and of course, Twitter feed at Andre M. Georgia. So yeah, check me out on those networks, and yeah, it's been great being on the show now.
Hey, fight fans. it's been great to have you on, man. Do appreciate the time. And big thanks again to just after dropping my microphone there. That's a first time on the show. A big thanks to Jonas Bilirino for stopping by. He's the Jungle Fights champion at 135 and 145 pounds. And I think he's going to be signing with the UFC soon. So, yeah, big congratulations to him, top man. And let's hope this fight happens. I'm sure we'll learn more by the next time we're back on. Listen, I'll be back on next week. I know we haven't had a podcast in the last 2 or 3 weeks. But if you want to get in contact with me, you can obviously catch me on Twitter at Niall McGrath, for at Talking Brawls, at Niall McGrath. On Facebook as well, at Talking Brawls on Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Podomatic, we're everywhere. You'll find the podcast around the place. And do look out for me. I'm going to be in Vegas. We're going to be doing a live show, I think, with Johnny Schrager most nights when we're over in Vegas. So do look out for that. I'll post links up on the Twitter feed and all that. But we'll tell you more about that next week. So from Andres Giorgio and Niall McGrath, it's good luck and good night. Cheers.